Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. City Councilman Matt Kelly in this morning. Matt, this is four or five, maybe more years where we have kind of closed the year. We've either done it on New Year's Eve or right around it. So
it's a tradition. Yeah.
It is a tradition. Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
It is a lot to talk about. It's been a busy year in the city, and really a lot of things, still a lot of issues that the city is dealing with that we'll get into this morning. Before we get into a lot of things, I've wanted to talk to you about this for a couple of weeks. A couple of weeks ago, the governor made an announcement for some commuter rail improvements in billions of dollars. And a lot of this, I know, has been things that have been talked about for years, and all of a sudden, poof.
Boom.
It's there.
Yes, I actually went up with Gary Skinner and to be there when the governor made the announcement, because I thought it was a significant announcement to be making when you're talking over $3 billion in projects over the next 10 years. You know, the projects being done, have been talked about for years and years and years, and have been planned for. You know, the environmental's already, you know, Long Bridge was always the choke point.
Right, that's
enough. Getting the additional tracks over the Potomac has always been the problem. And now that has, I mean, the environmental has already been done on that thing, so that's a project that can move forward. But the key point of it is it's going to give us a dedicated third track all the way up to the Potomac when this is all said and done. So finally, we will be able to separate passenger and commuter rail from freight rail,
mm-hmm.
which has been, you know, right now the biggest problem for VRE riders when it comes to on-time performance is congestion on the rails. So that will be a big one. It also finally, and I've had to keep quiet for well over a month because I knew this was coming because I was briefed by Sharon Mitchell, who's the director of Department of Public of Rail and Public Transportation, and we went through this, and she's been around a long time too, and she goes, Matt, I want you to know this time we finally have a commitment from CSX on the number of rail slots and stuff that we will get on the rails. So we will have over this 10-year period another five. To and from slots to be able to use, one becoming available next year, and then two as this process moves forward. Amtrak gets a bunch of additional slots too. For Fredericksburg, with regards to the dedicated line, it looks like the station portion that CSX owns will be taken over by the state to take care of, which is good to kind of get that finally resolved. That's been a big problem for us in getting improvements done in the station, though that announcement came soon after.
Same thing. I was going to mention that too.
But the interesting thing is, and I haven't talked about it much, and if people are following it, as part of this is also getting some rail right-of-way all the way to Clifton Forge to the west and into North Carolina to the south, you know, looking to either expand. We don't call it high-speed rail anymore. Now I can't remember what the new term is off the top of my head. Haven't had my first cup of coffee yet. But it's going to enhance, you know, rail throughout the state eventually. I mean, that's farther down the road, but that's part of this. And Amtrak is coming up with a big chunk of money. The state feels that they have the money available. They want to find new money for it. VRE will have our part to play in it, too. We discussed that at our last VRE board meeting, and we're ready to go and do our portion of the project. And so hopefully in 10 years, we're going to have a great time, including weekend service.
That was my next question. So this does include
this will give us the capability. Now, you know, at every moment like this, we're going, hooray, but there's this little.
Yeah.
You know, we have the additional train slots. We will now have the capability to run weekend service. Now, from our perspective at VRE, we've got to locate the money.
How do you pay for it?
To put the operational costs in play to allow, and the capital costs for additional cars and things, and require that, because that's not part of this. So that'll be our portion of the that we're going to have to deal with.
But at least it's to the talking stage. It's always just been kind of as a wish list kind of thing.
Well, what another thing that's kind of turned everything sideways in transportation in Virginia was, and I've got to give credit to VDOT. It took them a little while, but they finally got to this.
Yeah.
If you remember, we're now talking about the I-95 improvements too, the state's doing the big study. And what was the response at the end of the study? We have now, state, gone ahead and studied putting additional lanes on 95 and figuring out that's not going to work, that we need to shift to more multimodal approaches to transportation. Hallelujah. We've now crossed that river. So I think everybody now realizes it's going to be the VREs, it's going to be, you know, buses, it's going to be vans, it's going to be a lot of other things other than just building more asphalt to get us to where we need to go on transportation.
I think that we had, I'm sure that you and Hap and I had conversations that probably in about 03 or 04 about those, you know, those very things, but it's taken this long to get a study done.
And a lot of issues when I talk to people, and I have to say, you know, government doesn't turn on a dime.
Yeah.
It takes a lot. So we need to start having conversations about a lot of things years ahead to be able to kind of move into it. And transportation, we finally spent, you know, for me, it's been over a decade to get us,
yeah,
you know, to this point.
Well, but doing these improvements and all the things that this entails, it does really does have the potential of getting more traffic off the roads.
Oh, it would have much more of an impact than doing anything else on expanding roads. And it gives us a lot more flexibility in what we can do with it. For Fredericksburg, frankly, the weekend service thing could potentially be huge. If you can, I was on 95 yesterday, unfortunately. And it's gotten, you know, getting either north or south of the city now.
Right.
It's getting harder to get up and down. And, you know, why, if you're in Washington, D.C., do I want to fight traffic for 2 hours to get there and then have to, you know, build in 2 hours to get back or something?
And that's where it is.
And that's,
it is.
You know, it's a big part of the day. And, you know, who wants to go? When you have these opportunities, it's going to be great.
Now, just to have that option, because like you say, to get to Northern Virginia now on a Saturday or Sunday, north or south. Even if you go up, because this last weekend, we went up really early and got up there in an hour or so, but it was coming home. It was over 2 hours coming back.
Well, and I do want to point out one thing on the transportation front, multimodal, is, you know, VRE gets a lot of attention. Everybody loves trains. But we also have GW Ride Connect, which is the mm-hmm. largest van service
yep.
that there is. And hopefully that too will have an opportunity to expand through all this. That also by itself takes a lane of traffic off of 95 in the morning. But it doesn't get as much play as the, and frankly, GWRC, our George Washington Regional Commission, our local commission, is basically not only running that program, there's an insurance program statewide that goes with it for all van services, and we're kind of overseeing that too. We're kind of the poster child for van services in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
No, that whole ride service, I mean, it's won national awards, and really is. In
right,
some
it's kind
case,
of the, it's turned a little bit into the stepsister of VRE, but it's,
yeah.
It truly is an important service, and it the people who are running it really deserve a lot more credit than they're getting.
So before we close the chapter on this conversation, the train station improvements, so you're encouraged that something this will make things the possibility of getting some, because I know this has been a big concern.
This for me was a conversation that started maybe 2007-08 time frame, because the problem we have with is ours is the only station on the line that is not owned by the locality. It's the station, you know, the train portion of it is owned by CSX. And the problem we've always had is if we wanted to get money for an improvement at the station, we'd have to get CSX to sign off on it. So way back when, it was kind of like, hey, wouldn't it be a good idea to sit down with CSX and let's come up with a master plan for the station, have them sign off on it, and then, you know, as project money comes forward, we can just move forward with the projects and don't have to go through this rigmarole that we did. Back then, there was some pushback by CSX, honestly, and it kind of stalled a little bit. And then recently, we've had meetings on this ongoing now for a few years. We had a meeting back in August with everybody at the table. CSX at the table, VRE was at the table, city staff was at the table. We kind of got a general layout. So now we're looking at extending the platforms, which will also include a stairway down into the parking lot at the GWRC building. So instead of everybody having to charge across the street,
right,
they can walk down and, you know, get across there.
Oh, what a great idea.
You know, the biggest complaint, which really doesn't affect VRE as much as it does Amtrak, is everybody complains about the communications is absolutely awful at the station. Well, now everybody that's CSX, Amtrak, VRE want to come up with a new combined communication system, mm-hmm, throughout the entire system. And they're going to test it out in Fredericksburg. So we'll be the first in line to have the new communication system, which will help everybody know which train to get on. Again, it's more of an Amtrak thing than it,
yeah,
is VRE, but we are looking at some significant improvements there also.
Okay.
And bridge repairs to the other two bridges. It's not going to be the full repair. There's some drainage problems on the track that's going to take a lot of time to get taken care of, and until that third track is built, and that's a little ways out. The best we can do is get some of that cement work done, and once that's done, that should last long enough to get us to the point where we can take a track offline, fix the drainage, put the track back on, and move on.
I don't think I'll ever forget one of my highlights of covering city council over the years was the night when Joe Wilson brought in the piece of the bridge that had fallen under the roadway.
And do you remember who our congressperson was at the time who got us the money for the first repairs?
Was that George Allen?
No, Joanne Davis.
Oh, okay.
That's
that is
way back.
Boy, that is a long time ago.
Yeah, and then it took almost 5 years, I think, before the repairs to the first bridge at Safari Street were actually done. Yeah. That was $2.1 million.
I know. I mean, that train station has come. I mean, the conversations usually go nowhere, just because, like you say, that it's not something that's not in the cities.
And I've got to give CSX has really had a change of mind and heart over the years. Now that the state is totally focused on multimodal, a lot of this will happen quick. And again, for VRE, we need the train platform extensions because we are going to 10-car trains. And then we're also having to work on the storage issue once those trains get north. But all that, everything right now seems to be coming together. You know, the next phase for us is to take this additional capacity and find the trains and the money to operate them in the future.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning as look around and look behind and look ahead. In thinking about things, and one of the issues that you've been passionate about over the years, Matt, is preservation.
Yes.
And thinking about this year, I mean, the City Council passed the whole issue of preservation did come before council this year.
Well, we've made a lot of progress. We have the archaeological ordinance has been drafted and is moving on. We're currently working on a rehab of the preservation plan that was passed back in my last meeting as a ward representative in 2010, and then it was soon forgotten. And, you know, that's the biggest problem, because when you talk to people, including some of my colleagues, well, we have everything in place. We have an ARB. We have this. Yes, but if there's not a culture of preservation and where it's accepted as being critically important to the city, you've still got. You can have all the laws in the book. If they're not going to be enforced, mm-hmm, you've got a problem. And we still need. And we do have a preservation staff person now, which is helping out greatly. But we still got some things to do. One of the things I really like to see done is we will give up tax revenues at a drop of a hat for a restaurant and a bar. Well, if I would assume maintaining the character of the city is probably a tad bit more important than that. Then if we're willing to make those deals for that, why aren't we doing the same thing for preservation? Because I do realize that trying to maintain a property, especially in the city of Fredericksburg with land values and everything else like that. And I'm talking not only rehab, I'm talking new construction in historic areas. You know, we're asking a lot, and if we want it, we should be willing to chip in to do it. And I think probably for the city, I don't think I know, for the city of Fredericksburg, making those kind of investments are critically more important than just giving money back to a bar or a restaurant.
Because as you've pointed out over the years on this show and at council, once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah, we have lost, and we still, even with the steps we've taken, we've lost significant parts of our historic fabric. The last building that's visible in that famous picture across the Rappahannock during the Civil War mm-hmm. is torn down. And that's the sad part of it. A lot of what we have lost has frankly been initiated at the city level. And that's an issue.
Well, and I know, and all these things in place, and even when there have been things, been some things in place, things have happened. A lot of times these things happen just like that, and decisions have been made, I know, that have caused you great concern.
Again, it really comes down to, again, you can have all the rules in the book, in paper, down there, codified, everything, but if there's not a culture within the city itself to make sure that those goals are met, there's an issue, and we still have a little bit of ways to go on that.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. The Riverfront Park, is that due to, is
that's
work going to begin?
No, I think that's going to come up next year. It's going to start, yes. People ask me, again, two projects keep coming up with me, with people going, why did you oppose the Riverfront Park, and why did you oppose the WAC project? Don't oppose either of the projects. I have issues with how much money we're spending on Riverfront Park yeah. when we're about to embark on a big discussion on schools and school capacity, and also working in workforce development programming within the schools, which is going to be a big investment. And with regards to I kind of ask a question, how many riverfront parks in the entire nation have ever been built based on the concept of lowering the level of the park to the level of the river? I don't think you're going to find one. I think we are blazing a trail.
Do we want to blaze that trail?
I just don't understand why we're taking half of the park and basically saying that half of the park will flood.
Yeah.
Because it will. Well, it's just a meadow. Yeah, but we originally wanted to have usable space for events, and now you've cut it in half in size. And then for the $5 million, which we said was going to be the limit, we haven't included the staging. It's only two-thirds of the land available because we're leaving one of the parking lots. So a lot of what was supposed to be in, the power lines aren't included in that. So we're looking at well over $5 million when this is all said and done. And I'm still looking at, looking for new schools or school capacity issues. I'm looking at water and sewer issues. Police and fire, finally, we're paying attention to those. There's a lot of things coming at us right now. So we need to really focus in on some of those. And we could have had a beautiful park and not had to go to this extent to get it to it.
Is there going to be a new fire station somewhere in the city just with all the growth and everything, and just because it's been so long?
Well, that's the key point. Months ago when I asked the work session, we focus on shiny and things, and we should focus on ribbon-cutting moments. And we really sometimes need to focus on those things that support those moments. And it's been an issue for years with regards to looking at the budget that we have expanded as much as we have, but the basic services that I'm talking about, police, fire, and everything else, have not expanded with it. We need 9 new police officers, we're being told now, over the next few years. We've been talking about Station 3 for over a decade.
That's what I thought.
And so we've got a lot of stress and strain on a staff that is not capable of dealing with the amount of expansion that the city has done. It's time to stop and say, hey, we need to look at one of the concepts now is, instead of opening a third station, is combining Station 2 with the newer station off of Cowan Boulevard and having basically a super station there, and then just having 2 main stations. But again, we also need new police officers, new equipment there, new fire station, new equipment there, and that's just to get us caught up
yeah.
to the development level we're at now. So that, again, is another thing we need to focus on.
And I'm sure City Council pays attention when things happen in Spotsylvania and Stafford, like increasing pay
for
fire and rescue.
Well, that's why we just did police. The first time at a mid-budget made a change in the salaries for that, for police, fire, and emergency services. And that's going to continue to be a problem for us. And it's something we need to – this is a situation that really points to something that some of us have been kind of talking about. We can't keep going budget year to budget year. We need to start looking farther out, saying, you know, yes, we have a CIP, and we go, well, we got a five-year CIP. Look, yeah, but that for us has been, you know, kick it in, kick it out, throw it in, throw it out. And we do the same thing with budget. Again, this comes back to everybody that I know of can make the claim that, oh, we have a process in place. Yeah, we do, but do we follow it?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, especially in the budget process, you know, do we talk about the fact that we need 9 new police officers over the next few years, that we need this, this, this? No, we sit there, well, how do we get this budget balanced this year? And that's not what we should be doing.
Yeah, not looking ahead. And because all you have to do is, especially now with no leaves on the trees, when you're driving into the city off of Lafayette Boulevard with the big project going in on Lafayette Boulevard, and you look down and you see the cranes and everything over on William Street, and there's a lot of building going on.
There's a lot of building going on, and which is going to require a lot of services to support it, and we really need to start focusing more on the services and less on – we need to focus on needs right now and a little bit less on I want this and I want that, I want the other. And the other aspect of it, too, is we've not been very good at – if you look at successful communities and everybody keeps throwing, you know, Charleston, South Carolina, and Savannah, Georgia, which I just came from for Christmas, you know, they have been very good at building public-private partnerships. We, on the other hand, have not been very good at that, and we need to focus a little bit more. We were talking about a new recreation plan that they're working on, mm-hmm. which is going to be a big, beautiful plan, and I have no problems with we need more recreational opportunities, but with everything else that's coming at us, schools, police, fire, blah, 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 the list goes on, you know, just doing our normal, oh, we'll just throw it on the CIP and we'll borrow money for it. You know, why can't we do more looking at opportunities of state federal funding, for example, and or private funding for some of these things, and be a little bit more proactive in that regard.
So I have to ask you: whenever you're on vacation, you're always poking around and looking at another locality and how they do things. When you were in Savannah, did you take any pictures of things?
Oh yeah,
of
yeah,
roads
yeah, I did.
Or,
I did.
Okay.
No, I got a great one of their trash cans. They put the mobile app things on it, on the
yes.
trash cans for the museums or everything else like that. So you walk by a trash can and go, hey, I'll snap that so I can find out all the details about the museum and stuff. That's a pretty cool thing to do.
See, you did it, when you were over, what was it? You were over
I've
in Germany?
I've done that in Schwetzingen, Germany. I've done that in Istanbul, yes. Turkey, Çanakkale, Turkey. Yeah, anywhere I go, I spend at least a day running around just seeing how they do things.
Yeah. So I knew it. I just knew it. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:31.
Okay, listen. We got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. We just heard you in the year in review and talking about baseball. Boy, we've come a long way on that. And to actually go over there and see, as I can't wait till things start moving up because they've been so far.
Well, you have to go by there now because
is it going
all
up?
The foundations and everything else, some of the seating's in and all that. Yeah, so you need to drive by.
Ooh,
there.
Okay.
Or I'll send you the latest aerial shot of the stadium.
I see that on your Facebook page a lot. And it's exciting. It's exciting to see. And come April, it's going to be
April
really 23rd be real.
It's a big day, yeah. Fun to get it done.
Boy, and for you, we've talked about this before, about there was a group of you that really started scouting this out and going over to Southern Maryland. You invited me several times. I never was able to go. But
yeah, we had a big group that went over there, and we started in Southern Maryland with the Blue Crabs. And our first meeting was not necessarily with a team. It was with Charles County's personnel and, you know, what did you guys do? How did you do it? How successful has it been for you? That kind of conversation. Then it rolled into, you know, discussions with the team. That's where I got to know, you know, Peter Kirk very well, because Peter was one of the owners of the team at the time and has been a big help. He's the one that has, we've gone to the roller coaster ride of getting to this point. He would, we'd be talking on the phone, he'd go, Matt, it's going to happen. It might not be this time, but, you know, it happens. Sometimes you got to get through a few of these before you get to where you need to be. So just, you know, keep plugging along. So we kept plugging along.
Now, I think of you every time I go over the bridge on 95 and see the and see the sign. And the other thing, a couple weeks ago, when the Washington Nationals put out a press release detailing all the various changes in who was going to be doing what with all their farm teams,
mm-hmm.
and to look at that and see Fredericksburg was pretty cool.
It is, and again, I played baseball growing up, loved baseball and everything else like this, but I do like to take a moment to stress that, you know, the concept for the stadium is not just baseball. And in fact, one of the things we looked at very early on, and the model that we looked at, which most localities have adopted, is it's a multi-purpose facility. Even in our very initial conversations with Charles County, you know, they made it clear that said, listen, baseball is only 70 nights a year, and then we do 200 plus mm-hmm. events, tractor pulls, Shakespeare Under the Dark, Boy Scout Jamboree campouts, and a lot of other community related events with this facility. So it'll be great to be there for the first game, but it'll also be there for the first concert, the first Shakespeare in the Stars, the first whatever we as a community want to see there.
No, and I just with sports and with high school sports,
yeah,
when some of that gets played
and
there.
University of Mary Washington, I know, has been in conversations with me about, you know, using the facility for some of their games.
So I think just on the high school level, a lot of those kids are going to be thrilled to have, you know, when you get to play a game at a stadium like that.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's also you know, the concert series will move over there, so instead of, you know, running around in the mud and stuff, you'll be able to sit down and have a nice view.
Yeah. So
good
stuff. Come April. Back to some of the other city kind of issues we've been talking about. You mentioned just a few minutes ago school overcrowding. You talk to the schools. You go and you go into some of the schools and you see that.
Well, the elementary school is definitely Hugh Mercer is definitely an issue that needs to be dealt with. The question now becomes, how do we deal with that issue? The initial plan that both the council and the school board talked about, which is now off the table, looked at when we built Lafayette Upper Elementary and we built James Monroe High School, we built them to be expanded, and we were looking at the expansion there. And that would have involved some shifting of grades between the schools and things of that nature. And then another factor that came in when we kind of put that on hold was the school board council working group, which the mayor and I serve on, started this kind of has grown into kind of robust conversation on, you know, not everybody goes to college, and the goal of school should be, as a child leaves high school, if they don't go to college, mm-hmm. they should have some skill to which they can move into, which is kind of a workforce development thing. And since then, we've had meetings with the University of Mary Washington, we've had meetings with state officials, we've had meetings with Germanic Community College in putting a program together to expand workforce development programs in the schools, which I think is critically important. So now we're trying to take the school capacity and then take this workforce development, because that's going to require additional facilities and things of that nature also. You know, how do we move both these down the track? And then the bigger issue that comes into play is, you know, we don't see a dip in our debt service until 2030. So anything we start building now is just stacking on
really?
The debt.
I didn't realize it was that far out.
That far out. And then, as we've just spent a few minutes talking about police, fire,
yeah.
and all the other things that are facing us, you know, it's, you know, we're about to embark on this conversation, because now we have the group that's working on the capacity issue specifically. And I just hope that as that conversation moves forward, that we get the information out to the public and saying, yes, we have a school capacity issue. Here's what the issue is. By the way, we also want to look at workforce development issues. Okay, here's that component. By the way, debt service is this. These are the other things the city have to pay for. So when we ask the community, weigh in on what you want to do, they are have enough information to on which to make an educated comment and say, yeah, I think, you know, looking at all this, I still think we need to do A versus B. That's fine. I'm really worried that we're just going to jump out and go, okay, everybody, what do you think about schools? Well, we all love the schools. Okay. Yes, we should do this and we should do that. And I've worked hard to fund schools and worked on both at JM, the new JM, and up Lafayette Upper Elementary.
Yeah.
But there needs to be a little bit of reality of check of what the city is facing overall before we begin that conversation. I'm hoping that will happen before we dive right into, you know, just focus in on the school capacity issue itself.
That's interesting, though. I guess I didn't realize, 2030, just as is, and as we've talked about, there are going to be some big decisions.
When you're talking about some big money, and the three of the projects, which we'll mention, and I will mention the fourth, that kind of have driven that is two new schools and the old Walker Grant renovations are three big ones. And, of course, the project that really kind of skewed everything was when we built the courthouse. That really set us back.
Yeah, which that was you and Councilman Howe talked about that at great length.
I think a lot of members of council, I think it just got to the point where, and I was really kind of distraught to hear it, when you hear, oh, we've been talking about this so long, let's just do it. And again, even you know, looking at that, you know, we still had fire station issues, we still had school issues, we still had all these other issues, but we didn't talk about that. We just, again, we have this tendency to focus in on, well, the court. Well, wait a minute, we've got to look at, and it, you know, we're about to embark on Parks and Recreational, Dixon Street Phase 3, which was the facility at Dixon Street. Where did that go? Well, as soon as that courthouse was on the table, boom, that went right off the CIP. And we never had the conversation with the public and said, hey, if we do this, these are the things that are going to have to change to make it work. And, you know, we got Fred, when Fred Howe was on council, and we made the proposal for a 9-cent tax rate, which everybody, that's funny, really funny. No, that's what this courthouse is going to cost us. And it has.
Well, I guess, I mean, you take a look at that issue. I mean, and I guess that will be an issue that the people will want to ask candidates, you included, in the upcoming elections. You know, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that and deal with the future?
Now, I see my role on city council as not to tell you what you want to hear. It's what I believe you need to know so we can all make, as a community, a good decision or the best decision we can with the information we have. And, you know, over the years, I'm on here at least four or five times a year. You know, I've had two Facebook pages. I've written 20 plus op-eds over the years, and, you know, I've made myself available for every group that I can think of, because I think it's at this level of government, it's critically important to be out there communicating and talking to and making yourself accessible to people to have these kind of conversations. And unfortunately, that's becoming less and less prevalent at all levels. And understanding that we might not agree with each other, but, you know, at the end of the day, all you should be able to expect is, if you have a question, your question is answered. If you have a concern, your concern is addressed, and you understand how and why I voted the way I did. And I think one of the things that I really cherish when I hear people talking to me is when they say, you know what, Matt, I disagree with you on this one, but I know you did your homework and I understand why you did what you did.
Yeah.
I said, that's all I can ask.
Yeah, because you're not going to
please. We're never always going to agree. Yeah. I think we're all moving. We all want to go in the same direction. We all want to make Fredericksburg a better place to live. You know, we might have disagreements. And what's been great about Fredericksburg is we've been able up to this point to keep that conversation. Okay, we disagreed on this one. Let's move on to the next issue and see where we are.
Yeah. No, you've been very good at that, of being able to disagree and sometimes be the lone vote on city council.
Now, I do get somewhat passionate, and I apologize for that on occasions. But I do really love the city. And, you know, I've got here and I've never wanted to leave, raised a family here, have no intentions of leaving here. And so I do sometimes get on my soapbox.
Well, and the city's in a unique place right now, in that, I mean, there's a lot of people who would like to live in the city, And the costs of living in the city have gone up and will continue going up. Yeah.
And you know, how do we deal with that? An issue I think we do need to talk about in the next few months is how we're going to, a person who lives in a community who works in a community should be able to live in a community. Right now, frankly, to be a police officer, looking at it this way, a police officer, fireman, and a teacher and living in the city of Fredericksburg, it's not easy.
No.
And so what are we going to do as a community to deal with that issue? Is it subsidizing housing? Is it making sure that there is housing stock available for people starting out? I mean, that's a conversation we need to have. And we kind of stop and start. And it does need to have a regional component to it. And I do understand, some of my colleagues saying, we're always, Fredericksburg's always the one that seems to deal with this. But the interesting thing is property values in the city of Fredericksburg are much higher than they are outside.
Yeah.
So when you have a one-bedroom apartment at an average of over $1,000 a month, that tells you something.
Yeah.
And it is getting harder and harder for people to, we were talking about what I look at and when I'm traveling, and I was in Tybee Island, Georgia for Christmas, and I was in a store, and I was talking to the woman there and about, how many people were here and what's the lifestyle and everything else like that. And she said, it's gotten to the point where we've priced everybody out. People who used to live and work here in Tybee Island no longer do that. They have to live someplace else and come into the island because it's just gotten too expensive. So what do you do now to try to preclude that sort of situation from happening?
Yeah, no, I was talking to somebody who's getting ready to retire and doesn't think he can afford to live in the city and is thinking of just selling and moving to one of the maybe King George or Caroline where it's a little more affordable.
It's an interesting balancing act from the standpoint of a few years ago, when we talk at the governmental level with new projects coming into the city, and you had this years ago, it was 380,000, I think, was the number. I'm pulling a little bit out of the air, which was the breaking point. If the house had a value of that and up, the city would make some revenue from it, from the taxes it paid based on it. And anything below that, it would be a cost. But, you've got to balance that cost with, being able to provide adequate housing for the people who live here. So it's kind of a give and take. But, where do you set those parameters? And again, it's the discussion that we've kind of talked around a lot, but have never really got really serious and sat down and really went at it.
Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning as we talk city stuff and wrap things up. Overall, Matt, and you've mentioned it, there are some challenges facing the city, but overall, it's been a good year.
No, it's been a very good year, and I don't want to take away from that, but sometimes you do need to spend a little time focusing on, hey, we're doing this right. That's great and wonderful. We need to spend a little bit more time over here working on these. And, it's a problem for government for some reason, which I still don't understand, where when something's going south, we either, it's pig on lips, or lipstick on a pig
sure.
situation where, hey, we're going to try to make this look as good. Nothing's perfect. You're always going to have issues. Just be up front and say, hey, we have an issue with this. Let's talk about it and see what we can do, as opposed to either ignoring it or, oh, it's not really that big of an issue. It's, don't worry about it.
A few years ago, there was all the digging up downtown as the sewer lines were upgraded and worked on. Is there any more of that on the horizon?
Oh, we will be doing that until now to the cows come
home. I thought so.
True story, 2002. First meeting with then Public Works Director Doug Fawcett, and said, okay, Doug, give me a heads up. What are we looking at? And he said, we will be working on this water and sewer system until we're retired, if not longer. So you've got a lot of work to you upgrade and maintain.
Yeah.
Again, it comes back to these are the non-glamorous moments of government. But everybody expects when the water tap goes on, there's water coming out, that everything gets taken care of and everything's clean. And it's expensive to do that.
Yeah.
So and we're about to embark on the water and sewer improvements with Spotsylvania County on the water treatment facility.
Oh, that's right.
Which is going to be a significant cost in dealing with that issue. So wastewater and water will still be an issue in the coming year or two.
There's only another minute or so to go, but is anything on the horizon? You see any changes as far as any improvements with parking in the next year or so?
No, actually parking this year is probably going to get a little tighter because you're going to have the construction of the bridge, Chatham Bridge construction. You're going to have park construction. I guess the old Freelance Star building is going to be torn down. We are getting a new parking deck, but again, it's going to be a parking deck that is built to cover the needs of the buildings around it.
Yeah.
Not really adding additional capacity. What additional capacity we'll lose when the Barton Street lot area, which is now 70 plus spaces, gets developed. And then my guess is the developer is going to point to that parking deck and goes, "There are my parking spaces."
Yeah.
And then we'll be right back to where we were.
The way the city looks is about to change. I mean, it already is changing.
Yes.
With all of this construction, because I see it every day going up and down Lafayette Boulevard and just being amazed at how much dirt has been moved and in downtown, and there really are some changes.
There's some significant changes coming down the pike, and I guess I do get a little bit more protective of what's closer to the downtown area, and I think we did. Both with the WAC project and specifically with the Bagos project, missed some opportunities to have a little bit more of a say into those projects than we end up having. Water under the bridge, can't do anything about that. I did ask the city manager, so when are we going to get the next briefing on what the Bagos project is going to look like? And he said, you can go to the meetings, but it's not coming back to the council.
Oh, okay. So
okay, got that.
So that's all said. The downtown. I probably did 90% of my Christmas shopping this year in downtown Fredericksburg, just because there were so many options, and downtown is a fun place to be right now. A lot of independent businesses have moved.
We are in a renaissance period of time. There's no question. A lot of stuff coming in. We have stuff going. I mean, it's just constantly changing and. That's a good thing. I just hope we spend more time remembering that maintaining that kind of small town character is critically important, especially when you look at what's going on around us in the counties. Protecting that uniqueness just becomes more and more valuable.
Right, because and as you've said, we mentioned earlier, when it's gone, it's gone.
Gone.
And Fredericksburg still is very, very unique at what it has to offer.
You know, I kind of look at it, 95, anything you're building on the west of 95, we should, maximize whatever we can get out of it. When you come to this side of 95, we need to be a little bit more particular about what we allow and what we, construction-wise and such. Because, again, we can improve too much to the point where, why come here?
Right, yeah. I can.
We just get subsumed into the development that is spanning from Washington, D.C. to Richmond.
And again, a lot of these issues and a lot of questions can be asked of the candidates, in that this is the mayor and the at-large seats.
Right. The season starts Thursday. We can begin collecting signatures. So
The season starts. By the way, you are well known now. For the other night, I think it was in Stafford County, I heard it after the pledge. I heard somebody near the microphone say, and as Matt Kelly says in Fredericksburg, play ball.
And that, by the way, is not just for baseball. It's just politics is a game, and you've got to learn how to play the game.
Well, Matt, Happy New Year. Thank you for all your help.
Happy New Year to everybody out there, and have a good and prosperous new year. And I think things will continue to be exciting in the city of Fredericksburg, and you'll probably be seeing me knocking on your door asking for signatures or your vote.
And
your vote.
I look forward to talking to you in the next year. Thank you.
Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.